Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Jennifer Brown, a research scientist ethology with the Prairie Swine Center. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Brown.
Thank you. My pleasure.
As part of a group sow housing seminar hosted by the Prairie Swine Center, Swine Innovation Pork, and CDPQ, you discussed the topic, Systems, Science, and Behavior, What Can Research Tell Us? First of all, what is driving the need for research into the behavior of sows housed in groups at this point?
Well, certainly there has been quite a lot of research done over the last few years. Certainly, first of all, in Europe, looking at how to manage sows in groups because of the pressures there to move away from stalls. But our systems and our herd sizes are quite different in North America and even in Canada. We're slightly different. So that means that we do need some research on how to best manage sows in our systems here. And so that's been a motivation, especially looking to the future with the changes in the code of practice and the pressure now to move to groups.
What have been the main challenges of converting from stalls to pens, and what have been the factors there?
So a main challenge is that there's so much more variation in the types of systems we use for group housing. And then with each type of system, there's some different management quirks and different approaches based on the different feeding systems. Main challenges are how one of them is obviously how to improve the social behavior of sows, because certainly unfamiliar sows mixed in a group, you typically see aggression, and there's mixing aggression, and then also once that group is formed and they have their social hierarchy, there can still be ongoing aggression due to competition, usually for resources like food or at the drinker or for preferred lying places. So that's what a lot of the research focuses on, reducing that aggression. So what tools can we use in terms of pen design and feeding systems, grouping practices to reduce aggression at mixing and throughout gestation.
In terms of mixing aggression, why does this aggression actually happen? What are the factors that will influence the level of aggression at mixing and the duration and why?
So, yeah, mixing aggression is a very specific thing because certainly in the wild we don't see groups of sows or groups of pigs in general mixing at all. They are in very discrete groups and they remain quite isolated throughout their life and don't join with other groups of pigs. So it's really a behavior that you wouldn't see in the wild. It's not natural for pigs. They keep to themselves. So yes, we're asking them, you know, in our pens and barns to, you know, work out their differences when they would prefer just to separate and be in separate pens. So factors related to their levels of aggression would be familiarity. So sows that are familiar with other animals from, say, previous gestations are going to be less aggressive towards one another because certainly they are capable of recognizing each other. And there's certainly genetic selection that can be done to choose animals that are going to be more passive and less aggressive when mixed in a group. And then our rearing practices, we can certainly work on ways of encouraging earlier socialization. So some researchers have mixed pigs allowing litters to commingle at as early as 12 days, which is more of a natural age for pigs in the wild to be socialized with other members of the group. So researchers have definitely shown that early mixing reduces aggression later on. And then if you have gilts that you're developing and mixing them multiple times, they will get more used to developing social skills for adapting to changes in the group. So those, as well as mixing practices, can be used to reduce mixing aggression.
What influence will the size of the group play on aggression, especially during mixing, and why?
Well, again, that relates to how animals are reared. If you have them in small groups, studies have shown that, yeah, pigs reared in small groups and then mixed are going to be more aggressive because they had a very established social hierarchy, and when you're changing that to hierarchy, they tend to respond more strongly to that mixing pressure. Whereas if you keep animals rearing them in a larger group situation, they learn to adapt a more passive, socially tolerant behavior. And that's the theory is that in a large group, it's a lot more energy involved in establishing dominance, and so at a certain point, it becomes not worth your energy to maintain dominance with such a large group. So they just adapt a more tolerant behavior towards one another.
In terms of aggression at feeding, what are the factors there? What do we see, and why?
Well, certainly that's one of the main factors in group housing. So generally we distinguish between competitive feeding systems and non-competitive feeding systems. So competitive systems would be, say, floor feeding or shoulder stalls where sows are actively competing for feed, whereas non-competitive systems are those like the electronic sow feeders and free access stalls where each animal is fed individually, and so no other animal can displace it or compete for feed. They may compete for, say, access to the electronic sow feeder or access to a specific stall, but that's usually less of an aggressive interaction than when they're actually competing for feed. So the management of groups is very different in those two different types of systems. So for competitive feeding, you want small, very stable groups throughout the gestation so that sows can compete very well. So you want them very matched in body condition and body size. So every sow in that group can compete for feed. Whereas in these non-competitive and automated feeding systems, you can have a greater diversity of parities in the group and still be assured that animals are going to get their daily feed ration. And you can also have larger groups because you could have, for one electronic sow feeder, typically 50 to 60 sows per feeder. And then you can even have, multiple feeders within a pen, so a group size is up to 300 sows in some systems.
How important is the amount of space allowed for each pig, and what influence will that have on aggression?
Sure. Certainly that's one of the key factors in providing group sow housing is that you have to do have to provide sufficient space for sows. The code of practice gives recommendations for gilts, sows, and for mixed parity groups. Basically, for sows, the minimum would be 19 square feet per animal, up to as much as 24 square feet per animal. Certainly, studies have shown, if you go below 19 feet, you're going to increase aggression because sows don't have the space to avoid a dominant individual. If you provide sufficient space, then most animals will try to avoid aggressive encounters, and they'll also be able to separate, say, their lying behavior from dunging and feeding areas. So they'll make themselves comfortable in the pen by separating those activities.
What are the trade-offs when we look at space allowance, and how important is it to get that balance right, and why?
Right. It is very important, and it's definitely one of the key questions because of the cost of additional space and people wanting to, say, if you're doing a renovation, maintaining your herd size possibly as much as possible. But what we've seen from many producers is that they are generally able to maintain their herd size, or and some of them may reduce their herd numbers, but because sows are so productive, they're still getting producing enough finisher or pigs to fill finisher barns. The interesting thing is, there's so many alleyways, and when you incorporate those alleyways into larger pens, you often end up with more space than you would expect. So that is, it's certainly a key question when you're doing renovations. How do you use the space optimally so you can maintain the number of sows? And certainly it is critical to make sure you provide enough room for sows, because that will impact your production if you don't provide that.
How important is the design of the pens, and what does need to be included?
Right. Again, it depends somewhat on the feeding system and the group size that you're using. In general, we say with smaller groups, you do have a higher space requirement, and then you've also got more alleyways if you've got smaller groups to access those pens. Whereas if you have the larger group systems, that's where we've been able to save a lot of space, because all your alleyway areas are largely being incorporated into pen space then. So there's some space savings there. Another way that people have found to save space is by mixing sows shortly after breeding. Certainly in the past, we've been breeding them in stalls and keeping them in stalls for roughly 4 weeks before mixing them into groups. But now research shows that if sows are well managed in groups, you can mix them within that first 5 to 7 days after breeding and still have a good farrowing and conception rates. And in this way, you don't need as many breeding stalls to hold sows, or gestation stalls, and so you can use that space for group housing. So it's another way of economizing when you're doing a renovation.
How can anyone interested get more information?
Certainly we do have our website that we've developed as part of the National Sow Housing Conversion Project, www.groupsowhousing.com. And then we've produced a number of newsletters on this. There's a magazine called Science of Ethology, which we produced. And plus, I am available. I take questions regularly. People can email me or phone me. I'm happy to weigh in on these issues any day.
Thank you very much.
Welcome, Bruce.
Our guest has been Dr. Jennifer Brown, a research scientist ethology with the Prairie Swine Center. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.